Great. Expanding opportunities for all of you, and what the skills are needed for you to advance in your career, but also increase your compensation. When it comes to my own career, I like to say that I've been in the trenches, the bleachers, and the executive suite and have. I've been an assistant, a registrar, had five of them reporting to me at the Jewish Museum in New York, was on the initial planning team for Te Papa in New Zealand, and that was really wonderful, worked with the government on the concept document, and have been an interim director in my career as well. First for an art museum, and then most recently for the National Trust for Historic Preservation at Lyndhurst in Tarrytown. Our careers in this industry are often what I characterize as the three C's: choice, chance, and circumstance. And to add to that is the last one, which is change. Our industry is all about change, and I think we've seen that in the presentations already this morning. But also, if you're not about change or are adverse to change, this may not be the place for you, because we are changing all the time and our circumstances change. So let's first talk about professional development. What is it? Because many of us talk and toss around the term, but it does mean a number of things. Overall, it's about career advancement. In addition, it's about your own personal growth. One, in some ways, can't occur without the other. It is in enhancing your skills so that you can move on to the next stage in your career. It's your development of your own personal professional expertise, and these days we call it your own personal brand. And it is continuing education in whatever form it is, including this one. When we look at the landscape now, this is a much different landscape when I first entered the field. If we look at our major players in yellow, museums, galleries, auction houses, in addition, what's happened is there are art fairs, online entities, both selling works of art, dealing in artifacts, and all of those things. Every one of these organizations require, and more, professional registrars and collection managers. In addition, surrounding the art and artifacts are private collectors. There are many people, or some people in the room that I know, that are working with private collectors who are really looking for a museum quality collection management for their collections. In addition, the field has all of us who are working and advising the field: art advisors, architects, appraisers, shippers, conservators, designers, and I'm sure we could name many more. So there is a wide expanding network when people come to us and say, I can't find a job, I wonder why, because there are really many opportunities everywhere. Let's just take a step back. Professional development has a modern framework and a contemporary mandate. In Europe, we really look to London around 1913, when there was a chartered institute of personnel and development. In the United States, we have the rise of management theory after World War II. All the terms we use, like objectives, target audience, strategic plan, are all military terms. In arts and cultures organizations, as we know, we've moved now from being about the things, although all of us are about the things, to being about somebody. And that is our audiences, the people we work with, and all of those qualities that will advance you in your career as well. So if we look at arts and culture knowledge, we only do three big buckets of skills. The first is content. In the room, our registrars, collection managers, shippers, all of that, you're all very expert in your content area. In addition, you might have other content areas: 19th century art, African art, contemporary art, modern art, conservation, appraisals, or whatever it is. You need to build your content area as an expert, and I just have to venture to say, not an influencer. Anybody can be an influencer on the web. All you have to do is answer a couple questions each week, right? But really be an expert in your field so that people look to you for the right answers. In addition, we have development and fundraising. You don't have to be the development director, but in profit-making concerns, it's called business development. In nonprofits, it's called development fundraising. You need to be able to bring resources to your organization in whatever way you can, and you have to be aware. Even if you are the registrar in a museum, let's say, look at all of the trends that are happening, or the art and the grant initiatives, so that you can go to the development staff and work with them on writing grants, identifying major donors who might be interested in what you do, and the collection. The other area of skills that you absolutely need is finance and administration. You don't have to be the CFO, But you do have to get control of a budget early on in your career. People who have control of a budget make more money. Administration is being involved in some type of strategic planning and eventually hiring, training, and motivating staff. I'd like to introduce the sigmoid curve from high school, and some of you may know it. It is a mathematical construct that you can use, and visual one, for your career, for your organization, etc. As you rise up the sigmoid curve, before you get to the downside, you have to start another one so that your organization, your institution, and your career doesn't go the way of all of us. We start out as children, we become teenagers, we reach adulthood, we reach elder adulthood, and then we pass. So I'm going to take a look at some of these stages for your careers. One is the initial entry stage. Here's where you really start, and it doesn't really matter about age or where you're coming from, but if you're in an organization or you're starting one, profit or non, first of all, you have to understand the organization and the business. Then you have to apply a lot of your educational knowledge, because that's what you have at the moment. Then you have to learn new technical skills, learning to work with peers, which is not always easy, and establishing colleagues. We call that an initial or an entry stage. The next stage is what I call the colleague stage. You're expanding your competencies and your experience. You're developing your own professional identity and brand. People know that they go to you for something, that you're the person that people should ask those questions of, that you're the person who listens. Here you start to act in this stage with somewhat autonomy, and you are now making decisions and doing some independent problem solving. At the counselor stage, you start to develop others. Continuing professional growth is really important for you here, as things change, as new people come into the workplace, chairing meetings, being on committees, developing clients, etc. You are now really developing a network for yourself internally and externally and for your organization. And the last stage is an advisor stage, where you now have several areas of expertise that are respected, and you're starting to exercise real authority and influence in the organization. And that's the really most wonderful stage, I feel. Of course, that's probably the one I'm in. But it is very much about leadership. And then you're sort of shaping the future of your business or your organization. Other competencies that we know are, and actually this room is pretty competent, is global awareness, technological savvy, and we know that these are two very important overriding areas of expertise that you have to have. Then there are interpersonal skills, because through those stages you're going to be having to communicate with people up, down, across the organization, negotiating, you do that now with some of your vendors, you negotiate with your clients, etc. Speaking and presentation skills. This will be more important as you go on in your career, and probably those of a younger generation should maybe learn how to do that. I was very impressed with presentations this morning, and I really want to go to Zimbabwe and take the digital condition report with me. Here you also, now to this idea of branding yourself, who am I, who do I stand for, what are my values, what do people recognize me for? Collaboration and networking, those are all very important skills to gain. In addition, you'll need some basic and advanced business skills. Time management. Sometimes people say, oh, we're working 18, 20 hours a day. Sometimes I think it's bad time management. Project management. Strategic planning. Many of you have been involved in that and know how important it is. Decision making. Critical thinking. Being able to peel away the layers of a problem and think critically about it. And proposal writing. Writing is still key. You can type it or it can still be cursive. And then, of course, we have leadership skills, especially for the fourth stage, but these are everything that you can exercise at any stage of your career. Learning to lead, leading is not a gene. Leadership can be taught. There is no gene for it. Team building. You want to be able to build the team and let them, you sketch out the horizon and let them get there by themselves. Delegation. Obviously, this is something that we all need to do better. And succession planning. Who's going to take up the role after me? Who's going to lead the organization after me? Who am I going to sell my business to? But thinking about that future is an important aspect, as it is in the conservation, Heather's conservation, is that thinking about things before they're immediately in front of you is very important. So there's lots of methods of delivery for professional development, formal or informal learning opportunities, facilitated experiences, individual exploration, in real time or in situ or online learning. But it is a bridge between your educational learning and specialized practical training and skill application. It's what you're doing now. So thank you very much.